that whole thing just sort of seemed to encapsulate how it must be to lead on your own, because you've got to lead yourself. Before you lead anybody, you've got to be able to lead yourself.
Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching. I'm Rachel Sullivan.
And I'm John Tattersall.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Building Better Leaders podcast. Today we are going to be talking about leadership and isolation and how we can take inspiration from leaders that are out there in isolation. So today's podcast is really going to be driven by John, who has taken on a challenge to implement some of the leadership concepts and theories that we talk about and coach our clients on, inspired by the Van der Globe 2020 race. So John, talk us through what we're going to be covering today.
Well, indeed, and it was actually you, Rachel, who when you did your podcast on running the marathon, you did say to me, perhaps next year you can do it. And so it's sort of been in the back of my mind, as in a little bit of competition there. And I said,
Healthy rivalry.
I don't think I'll be able to do it because I've got dodgy knees and my back hurts and all that. I was giving it a lot of excuses. Anyway, what happened was I just happened to be, it was Breakfast News, and I was watching Mike Bushell, and he was talking about the Van der Globe 2020, something I hadn't really made any, I'd heard about it, but not, didn't know much about it. And then just by chance on the Sunday, I was watching BT Sport, and they were at the beginning of the race. And so there's 33 sailing boats all ready to go, are right round the world, solo, no assistance, non-stop. And it got me thinking about how you perform and how do you lead in a situation where you're away from home. It's going to take somewhere around, well, the last time it was done in 2016, it's done every 4 years, it took over 70 days to get round. And so
it's 70 days-ish to sail solo around the world.
Yeah, and that was the fastest time I think that was ever done in. Generally, you're talking about 3 months, so it mm-hmm. could be up to 90, maybe even over that. And I just thought how difficult that is in such difficult terrain, on your own, just getting hammered by all the weather, the waves, all the uncertainty of, are you going to get round? You know, it's bloody dangerous. So that whole thing just sort of seemed to encapsulate how it must be to lead on your own, because you've got to lead yourself. Before you lead anybody, you've got to be able to lead yourself. And that really just inspired me to think, right, can I learn something that is helpful to me and our listeners from their experiences and the challenges that they come across in this race? And can I emulate them in some sort of way? So obviously there's a massive physical challenge for them. So if I'm going to put together these leadership essentials, could I do that and challenge myself physically at the same time? So I set the challenge of running 5K a day. And that was the inspiration for doing it. It's this whole idea that you're leading yourself in isolation, albeit that you do have a huge team that are behind you back on dry land. So that was the inspiration for it.
So you're going to run 5K every day for the duration of the Van der Globe.
Yes.
2020. Until the winner wins or the loser?
I've considered that. I think I'm going to see how I feel by the time we get to day 90 or whatever.
I've got to check myself, actually. I just said, or the loser. I'm like, hello, if you sail around the world unaided, you are not a loser. You've still made a massive achievement.
Well, yeah, it's interesting is that as well, because there are four, it's a very French-dominated race, this. So the majority of the competitors are French. But there are four British skippers, three of which are women, mm-hmm. and a couple of which have never done it before. And their goal, if you like, right, is to get round.
Yeah, so they're in their own race. They're not even racing against each other.
Can I get round this? And I just think that is absolutely awesome. I just can't imagine how difficult that is when you know that you're going to be out there for all that time.
But we did talk about this a lot, didn't we? And why Van der Globe is an interesting thing to talk about. And there's so many comparisons with leadership. And I think particularly, like you said, it's a race that's run every 4 years. I think this year particularly, the nature of that race and the challenges that they're coming across, I think in some small way, everybody can relate to as a person or human being this year with the year that has been COVID-19. Yeah, so yeah. I think there's a lot in this. So for those of you that you haven't been on our website or looked at some of our social media, you are doing Leadership Essentials every couple of days, aren't you, based on the experiences that they're having?
Yes.
But inspired by this, you know, you and I did chat because I'm thinking back to when I ran the marathon, the virtual London Marathon, even though I hadn't even raced it. I said to you, my main inspiration for doing that was I'd written my goals list for this year, and it was to run the Yorkshire Marathon was on there. And I'd, you know, after getting made redundant and this year definitely not going as planned, I just dismissed that. Oh, it's not happening now. And then I had a proper word with myself and said, you know, why am I letting this uncertainty dictate my feelings of efficacy, achievement, self-determination this year? Take some control back. And I ran that race and I still feel buzzing off. You know, when I think about this year, I've made some huge achievements. And I think that's really the big thing for you. And I think with the Leadership Essentials, it's about thinking about what can we learn from these people that are operating in isolation, but within a huge team environment, because you're never really alone, even though you can feel massively alone. But it's about, even in times of uncertainty, how can you lead yourself and how can you lead others and yourself to success?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting in terms of just talking about motivation, because we talked about this the other day as well, didn't we? Is that one of the motivators for me is actually quite is extrinsic. So whilst they're circumnavigating the globe, my motivation is, well, if they're doing that and they're in it and they can't get out of it, really, unless they decide that they're going to retire, and they ain't going to do that unless they have to, they've got to keep going. And so my motivation was, right, in terms of actually running the 5K, how much better can I get, as in how much quicker can I go?
Yeah.
How much stronger will it make me feel? Because can't go to the gym at the moment. Don't know, perhaps we'll be able to go back next week, current situation, but we don't know. So how much stronger will I feel? But can I actually get up every morning and at some point in that day run that 5K? And I think part of the motivation for me is, well, if they're doing that, is that should be easy for you, because it's taking less than half an hour out of your day. It's only 5K, it's 3 miles. It's not really that big. So, but when you were running the marathon, the virtual marathon, your motivation was much more intrinsic. Yes. And we'll talk about this in Leadership Essentials, in like the differences in people.
Yeah.
But yours was more intrinsic, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, knowing how you are motivated is very interesting to do. And I think we're all motivated in different ways at different parts of our lives. But some people, knowing how you are motivated is part of who you are. You are more extrinsically motivated than me.
Yeah.
I'm more intrinsically motivated. But that's changed for me. I used to be very externally. No, did I actually? No, I've always been intrinsically motivated. I actually have. I've always been driven by a need to just do it for me, and that is enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, often people will say, oh, you know, we'll meet up with a friend and then you're more likely to do it. I think nothing of cancelling on a friend to do a run the morning of the run.
Yeah, you see that I would feel as if I was letting them down and not achieving, because that is the thing that sort of makes me go.
Yeah. I don't get me wrong, I like running for the social with another friend, but if I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it. And that I think is the difference.
It is interesting, because I think that at the end of this, I am really determined to do it every day, and I have got a bit of a knee niggle at the moment. And as you keep saying to me, Rachel, I should wear a support and I should, you know.
Good leaders know when they need support. Yeah. And when they need to pay and invest in equipment that will enhance their performance. So...
Yeah, I don't know what you said. But the interesting thing is I am determined to do this. And at the end of it, I think that I'll feel the reward of having done it for myself. So I think there is an intrinsic part of me, but I won't get that until I've got to the end, until I've achieved the goal.
Yeah. So back to how we link this to the leadership world.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing the running for now?
So this was day 16 today.
So 16 days you've been running 5K. Yeah. And how's it going so far?
Yeah, pretty good. Some days are harder than others to motivate yourself. But like I say, I'm using the idea that when I go to bed on a night, I am not going to be cracked by a 6 meter high wave. You know, I can sleep all night, and so what I'm doing for half an hour is nothing by comparison to what they're doing. So that is the motivation part of it. In terms of performance, some days are just better than others, and I think some days you feel it better than you do others. So that generally, though, over the 16 days, I'm getting quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I am getting quicker. I did what you challenged me to do at the weekend, and that was to run a 10K.
Yeah.
Just to stretch myself a little bit and so how could I deal with that? Interestingly, I look back, and when I did the Great North Run in 2011, I'd run this route around here that was 10K in like preparation for doing the Great North, which obviously is a half marathon. And I did that in, I was averaging a 9 minute, 7 second mile back in 2011. So it's 9 years ago. So I was interested to see what I could achieve 9 years later running the same course. Mm. It was in November when I did it back in 2011. So I had a, you know, pretty much comparable run, but obviously I'm 9 years older.
Yeah.
And I ended up running it in 10:07. So I was exactly a minute, a mile slower. So I looked into that. I thought, I'll research that. Is this, somebody must have done some research around, as you get older, can you maintain the same sort of speed and the same fitness? What it said was, up to 40, so you're going to be all right, Rachel.
I'll be all right for a few years.
Up until you get to 40, your performance is fairly level, given all other factors, right, all other considerations. Between 40 and 75, so do you think you'll still be running when you're 75?
Yeah,
will I still be running?
I hope so.
Still hope I'm around to be running. But between 40 and 75, you lose 1% per year. So over the 10 years, that I'm about right.
Yeah,
I'm about on the money. So you could actually be running a slower time when you get older, but actually be fitter, given the fact that you've got to weigh in the fact that you're losing 1% per year.
Yeah. So let's bring this back to, so you've been doing this for 16 days. You've been comparing yourself to the very brave people out doing this sailing race around the world, who are leaders. They're having to lead themselves, they're having to motivate themselves, but they're also leading teams, because they've got a whole, you know, you're out there in isolation sailing this boat, but there's like teams of 20 of you behind to make this feat possible.
Uh-huh.
It is a huge team effort. And I think for me, reflecting on this, and it has been an interesting thing at this time, is that's the first, I guess, leadership thing we want to focus on for today is that leadership can feel lonely at times. Mm. And you know, we talk about feeling isolated, but actually we can take inspiration from isolation, because if you can lead yourself through that, you can become a better leader. But conversely, at the same time, you're never alone as a leader. Leadership
For sure.
is
yeah.
a team yeah. sport. And you can't think that everything's on your head as a leader. It is a team sport. So talk us through that. Apply that lesson or that learning of the Vendor Globe and of your experience of the 16 days of you leading yourself. You are out there in isolation doing your 5K every day. But by nature, there is a team element to it, because you and I are chatting
yeah.
about it. Helen,
yeah.
you, your partner's supporting you.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point you will invite somebody to do a 5K with you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through how that's going and what can our listeners take away from that if they're, you know, if they are a leader or they're a team member, but feeling that this year hasn't quite gone as planned in terms of personal achievement. But it's not too late to take inspiration and do something like this by yourself. Because if you can lead yourself through uncertainty, you can lead anybody.
Yeah, I said I was motivated by what they were doing, but I think it did come at a time when we'd just gone into the second lockdown as well. And, you know, the fact that you can't go and do all the things that you normally like to be able to do. You can look at that one or two ways, can't you? You can say, all right, well, I'm just going to feel like a bit fed up with it all and sit there and watch TV all day. Or you can just give yourself something to challenge yourself. And I think that's been helpful, because there's no two ways about it. If you do any exercise, it does release all the endorphins and the rest of it. And you are set up better for the day. You can't really explain it until you've tried it, but you just feel a lot better. You just feel a lot more alert and you just feel like you've just got a lot more energy and get up and go. And I think when it's this time of year, in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, it's very difficult. You know, dark nights come round very quickly. It gets sort of 3:30 and it starts getting dark, doesn't it? And,
yeah.
And so just by choosing to do this, it's made me feel better physically and mentally. And I think when you're talking about the leadership part of it, Rachel, and working within a team, I don't think that I would have done the 10K element this weekend if we hadn't have had the conversation that we had. So in terms of the fact it being a team, then even though it was just the two of us, that actually motivated me to go and do that 10K. So in the same way that they're in the same space, you know, Alex Thompson, who was leading the race, has broken a longitudinal beam in his boat. It's a serious repair that he needs to do. How did they approach that? He reported it back to his team on land. That involved boat designers, technicians, I don't know, engineers, all, a whole load of people who had to come up with a plan for him to be able to fix it. While they're coming up with that, what does he decide to do? What's the instruction? He sleeps for 6 hours. He can't achieve anything
in that
6 hours. So he rests up while they're pulling together a plan, which 6 hours later they deliver to him, a full step-by-step plan. He's got all the, they know the materials that he's got on the boat to fix it. They're reassuring him that once he's done this repair and he's followed it step-by-step, that the boat will be as strong, if not stronger, than it was before he left.
It's incredible, isn't it? And I think, though, if you liken that to leadership in general, you know, even you imagine some of the most loneliest jobs, you know, where you're at the top. Like, I always think back to Barack Obama And he was never leading by himself because Michelle was his team. Yeah. You know, he introduces himself now when he goes to talks as Michelle's husband, you know, and that absolutely is a team member. And I think when we, in the coaching space, when we do coach leaders of organisations, I don't think I've ever had a coaching engagement with somebody. I've certainly had individual sessions, but I've never had a full-on coaching engagement where I haven't known the ins and outs of that leader's marriage.
Yeah.
Be it
that's all part and parcel of it,
a man or a male or female, and that support at home. And if that support at home's not going well, 10 to 1 the leadership experience and the isolation is feeling is feeling harder. So I think that's your first kind of step on that. I think I just want to touch on as well your motivation and relating it to self-determination theory, because if people aren't feeling that motivated at the minute, like you say, we're in our second national lockdown, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, possibly with the 2nd of December, but at what cost? We're not a political podcast. But a lot of things have been taken out of our control. But you, as individuals, we always feel humans are designed to be motivated. We are goal-orientated beings. It is a natural part of evolution. When we think back to your feat over 16 days, you know, self-determination theory states that Ryan and Desi state that, you know, you need 3 things to be motivated. So that being autonomy, so the decision that you've got some control over it.
Uh-huh.
Competence, you need to be feeling like you're getting better at something. And relatedness. Talk us through those things and your experience.
Well, I guess, yeah, I think I absolutely I've got enough support. I think what's been interesting is posting some of these things on Instagram. So, you know, a video that's only a minute and a half, no more than sort of 2 minutes. And then actually getting the sort of the feedback from that, you know, you get pretty much instant feedback, and, you know, just other members in the family, you know, my son, my daughter saying, oh, keep going, Dad, you know, it's just really good. And it's like you think to yourself, well, that does motivate you because you feel like you don't want to let them down again. Again, in my mind, that's more of an extrinsic motivation. So relationship-wise, yeah, for certain, same thing with Helen, same thing with you, you know.
I think what's nice, though, observing that on social media is it's almost improved the connect. It's given you something else to talk about with your daughter and your son. And we're in the 20s, haven't it? It's given you another... They're impressed that their dad's doing this.
That they can...
That they can follow.
As old as he is, he can still do it.
So the competence.
So competence... The only thing that's worried me right from the beginning is getting injured, because I just, you know, you get to my age and you do pick them up. The thing that's kept me going about that really was something that I read in one of Ann Middleton's books, and he talks about pain, and he talks about just getting through pain, because pain is just pain. It's like a reflection of weakness in the body. And actually, sometimes you've just got to get through it. And I think it's very easy to just go, oh, well, my leg's hurting a bit this morning. I was saying to Helen this morning, she said, well, you know, don't run today. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to break the cycle. So I've got somebody sort of saying, no, you don't need to do it. And I'm saying, no, I want to do it, because if I miss day 17 and then it's day 18, it isn't a full 90 days, and they can't get out of the boat. You know, they can't stop. They can't get assistance. So,
and in leadership, you can go on just holiday for a break, but you can't go, I'm just not making any decisions today.
No, and in leadership, I'm it tired. Is painful at times. Yeah. You know, you have days that just wear you down. So,
and that you might make the wrong decision, because sometimes you might choose to run on a day when you have got an injury and a niggle, and you know it's the wrong decision, but you've done it and you've got to live with the consequences after. And I think that's a big reflection of knowing and being aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like I said to you, you can walk a day. You've still done the 5K. You know, in that boat out there, if they hurt their hand or injure themselves, it will affect their performance and their speed. but they've still got to keep going. You've still got to cover some ground. It doesn't matter how slow.
Yeah.
And calorie-wise and effort-wise, this is why people say to me, you know, how can you run that far and how can you cover that? And I say something, you're thinking about this the wrong way. Anybody can do 10K or 5K. It's about time, but you've got to stop thinking about time as a metric of everything. You know, just do the distance. You burn the same calories walking 5K as you do running 5K.
Yeah.
The calorie burn is the same.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference is the time it takes.
And a level of comfort that you can...
That you can achieve
through walking and not running. But then that's part of the challenge, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I've decided that I am going to do this every day. And if it means that, you know, my knee's a bit dodgy or my back's a bit dodgy, I'll just have to walk it.
Yeah, I'll strap it up.
Yeah, yes, I could do that. I could take your advice and
start eating flaxseed and strap your knee up.
Knee support.
He does listen to me, honestly, listeners, occasionally.
So that's relatedness and competence.
And then the final one is autonomy, but you have just touched on that, like you have decided.
Yeah.
And there is a big sense of autonomy.
And I think what's really important here, H, is, and this is a big motivator for me, because it is sort of freedom's like my real number one value, I think. It means a lot to me to be able to decide what I want to do. It's why we end up working for ourselves, isn't it, really? You know, because you get to the point of it's hard to take instructions off people when you know that a lot of the time the instructions are not developing you and they're not doing the right thing for you. And I think in lockdown, of course, a lot of our autonomy has been taken away from us. And so just to pick a challenge that says, right, okay, I'm in charge of this. Government can't stop me from running around Saxton every day for 3 months.
And I think that's a big tip for anybody that's working now and that's perhaps not feeling as good about this year as they had. When you think about motivation, and actually what I really like about that theory of self-determination is it's about human well-being. It's not just about being motivated. It's about if you don't feel like your well-being is where it should be, look to those three things: autonomy, competence, or relatedness, the quality of your relationships. One of those three things or two will be suffering. And I think that's the thing about lockdown and the way that the UK seems to be going and the world about taking our choices away from us.
Yeah.
It's more important now than ever that you do something that's your decision, that you've got autonomy from. And I think when you think about that in leadership and in work, it's about having a say. And I think the temptation for a lot of very senior leaders and CEOs is to make decisions very quickly, like we're seeing in Parliament right now. But you can only do that for a finite amount of time before it starts to eradicate people's sense of autonomy within the organisation. And that is detrimental to inspirational leadership. So, yes, you can use those powers of making decisions very quickly for short periods of time. And we saw a lot of leaders do this in a lot of organisations. What I don't think the government's doing very well is they're doing it for an extended period of time and then expecting us to still be motivated. And that sense of being together and having a core purpose, a shared purpose, that we really felt in that first 8 to 10 weeks of lockdown when we were all clapping for the NHS, etc.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, it has. And I think...
And that's because our autonomy is... We're not feeling like we've got a choice over tackling this virus now. Some people do, but the majority, or rather some don't, and I think that's where the disalignment's gone. And that's a big factor in leadership. Are all of your people on the same... at least on the same page? So I think it's checking in with that, why we're doing what we're doing.
I think what's been difficult, I know we are touching on the sort of the management of COVID, but I think what's been difficult for a lot of people is they don't really know how to get themselves out of it. So the end game is very difficult for themselves to be able to deal with, because we just have to become quite compliant. And it's a little bit like in leadership. So you may well have somebody doing a project or something, and you, as the leader, you're saying you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way, this I want you to do, that's hardly the best kind of level of leadership. For somebody to feel as if they can tackle the project the way they want to tackle it, knowing, and you both agreeing what the outcome needs to be, it's the result that matters and not necessarily how you do it. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned from the running. You know, I've done an extra mile on one particular day because I felt good. I felt as if I was able to do that and push myself a little bit more. But I didn't have somebody saying to me, "No, you've got to come in now, and you've done your 3 miles."
And even that, it's a choice for you to do on that day.
Yes.
And every day, it's a choice whether you go or you don't, and you have to deal and live with that choice. So I like that. That's quite good, and I hope people have found that useful. What else have you've been observing from the Vendiglobe and the running in terms of leadership?
Well, from the Vendiglobe, it's not something I know anything about, sailing. It's not a sport that I've had really particular interest in. It just seemed to captivate my imagination, really, and it just seems such an extreme race. I mean, it is the world's longest race.
You can't think of many things
that it's just the fact that you're in there 24/7, aren't you? You know, at night time, I mean, at the minute, there's quite a lot of the fleet are in the doldrums, and you know, it's a pretty weird place in terms of the weather and what have you. I just think that whole idea of having to get around the world under those circumstances is really difficult. There's a few of them had to come back. They've had repairs and to do, and yeah, one guy got out 600 miles and had to turn back, and so that was the very same day that he'd set off or into the evening, and he had to come back, and he spent a week having his boat fixed. Under the rules, you're allowed to come back to Le Sable d'Olonne on the west coast of France, where it starts from, within the first 10 days of the race, and then you're allowed to, but you've got to be away again within those 10 days. And another guy came back, and he'd been a lot further out than that. And what he couldn't get his head round was how supportive all the crowds were. Obviously, they've got lockdown in France as well, mm-hmm. so they're not meant to be out and about. But thousands of people turned up at the port that he came into, cheering him. And he was like really emotional that all these people had thought that much about the fact that he was coming back and then went out again. Now, you know, at the point he goes back out, he's about 3,000 miles behind the leader.
Yeah.
What is it about his love for the sport that motivates him to think, look, I'm still going to do this, even knowing that the chances of you winning it are pretty slim? And he said, you know, he's had to think very differently about in the two ways that he departed the start. He's had to think very differently about the race or the journey in front of him.
That's incredible, isn't it? I think if we bring that back to a leadership sense and actually even take it to a higher level about the purpose of life in general, you think, how often in the workplace does this happen, where you'll start a project, the equivalent of him getting, like, how many miles was it?
Well, one of them was 600. I can't remember the other one. He was a lot further out.
1,000 miles, say, you know, you've started, you've spent days. That's the equivalent of starting a project at work and spending millions on something and then realising the product isn't fit for purpose, and you have a bump in the road. Either something goes wrong with the supply chain, something goes wrong with the product concept, but you find yourself literally back to square one. But it's not back to square one as you were. It's going back to square one, and all the effort, the reversing, that takes time. It takes effort. It takes goodwill to get there, to regroup physically and mentally, and then to set out again. And what? But think about that from a leadership and work concept. How often it happens? It happens all the time. But what is it that's the learning? What is it, the mindset shift? And really what I love about that is the crowd love it because they get it, that it's a team sport. Mm. You've attracted a whole new different, and you probably need more support in those cases than you ever would. Mm. People love a hero's journey.
Yeah. Yeah,
they love the initial first failure. Nobody wants somebody to just set out and win straight away. Everybody loves the underdog. But actually in leadership, it's how do you get over all that money been wasted, or I say brackets wasted. Mm. But you think about Steve Jobs, this is the kind of stuff that drove him, you know, and the creating the initial Macintosh, how much money was ploughed into things that didn't work. And it was like, but next time. And then it just works, doesn't it? But it's that feeling of what you become during, you know, he will become a far better leader, a far better person by that humility of going back.
Yeah. And we touched on it, I think, in the goals podcast that we did, is that his goals, you know, to actually enter this race, finding all the sponsorship for it, it's not easy, you know, to do that. And they certainly ain't doing it for the money, you know. I think the winner gets 200,000 euros or pounds or whatever, but you know, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for the absolute love and the challenge of the sport. And I think those goals become congruent with their own values.
Because I think when you put it in that thing, like if he's had to change his mindset, think about this with life and COVID and just even without, you know, COVID's just, it's massively disrupted all of our lives this year. But actually, it's just a thing that's disrupted our lives. Things disrupt our lives all the time. When you look at it at a micro level, it's just something that we've all had to go through at the same time. It's probably similar to World War II or something. But you still have to carry on. There's no option to just go, oh, I'm sitting this one out. Life doesn't work like that. And you think he's changed his mindset and his end game, because by the time he finishes, he hasn't just sailed the race around the world. He sailed it and some. Even his achievement becomes bigger.
Yeah.
And his sense of overcoming that initial blunder becomes part of the experience. And I think when you can change it like that, the winning doesn't even matter, because what are you winning anyway?
Well, one of the skippers had said that it for him to just not set out again meant that he was going to have to sit in front of the fire with his feet up, knowing that they were all out there and that he should have been out there. And that one sort of image, I suppose, in his own mind was enough for him to say, look, no, I am doing this. I've set out to do it. I set out to do this right from the beginning. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
And I just love that commitment to your sport.
Yeah, and that, I think I talked about this with the running the 10K. It's getting over this concept of time. And I think I wish leaders weren't so driven by time. You know, we're in such a rush for everything. And it's because we're totally in competition with the competition instead of with the betterment of ourselves. And I think one of the things I've really reflected on this year, and as I get older, I reflect on in the work that I've done and the hope that the work that I'll do in future is there's always a trade-off with time. It's money and it's resources. And I think how could we be smarter for our planet and our use of resources if we took a bit more time?
Mm.
How could we be kinder to ourselves and our mental health if we took a bit more time? And really, is time that? Have we got it wrong? I mean, you listen to scientists and actually they're baffled. They don't even know what time is. Time and gravity, what are these two things? And this is a totally different, you know, podcast for another time. But What are your assumptions around time, and why is it driving you? And why is it time against a competitor or something else about being first to market rather than doing it in the best way possible for the most amount of people involved? And I think what I really love about this race and the notion of this is, like you say, the winner gets the 200,000. That amount of money doesn't even pay for half of what you're like. Yeah. You know, it's such a small amount. It's if you've said you've done that and what you've become by doing it, it's invaluable. And does the time even matter?
I don't think so. I think it is an experience-based journey.
It is for marathon, you know, it is for a lot of, there's a big trend in running now, actually. I'll send you a couple of podcasts on this around mindful running and actually leaving the Garmin at home and taking that notion of time off and going, actually, what is your brain capable of and your mind capable of when you stop watching the clock and where can
so
it
that's
go
take
that?
The music out, leave the phone at home, just go for
just
the run.
Just go for the run. Yeah. And that's been my... I take the Garmin out and Strava out a couple of times. I track it, but a couple of times a week, I'll go out for a run with nothing.
Right.
I don't run with music anymore. That was a big thing for me. Take, you know, and actually using running as a meditation, listening to the birds and things like that. And I think how do we give ourselves time as leaders to let our people that we're leading just feel their flow rather than be constantly on them with the money and the time and the where are you against the plan and the go-to-market strategies and planning, and how do you just help people find the magic for them? And that's where innovation and true creativity really come from.
Yeah, it's interesting that I really quite like the music, and I've even thought about, you know, putting together a playlist or a number of playlists, because I find that is quite motivating in itself. So it just goes to show that, you know, differences are opportunities for learning, aren't they?
Absolutely. Differences are opportunities for learning, but I also think it's about mixing it up. You know, some days you might feel like one thing, some days you might feel like another.
Sure.
What I keep saying to you is you're not going to get better every day. You're going to have a day where you run slower and bed in some rest.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So... now we've waffled on with all of that. What are your leadership essentials? It's a bit of a different format podcast for this week, because we are talking about your experience. But what are your leadership essentials 16 days in and following the Vandergloed this far?
Well, I think these leadership essentials are just my leadership essentials. Yeah, they're influenced by the Vandergloed. But I think these are just like what I've learned, really, more than anything else. And number one, the first leadership essential is I used to, and I still do, make lots and lots and lots of statements. But what I've learned is that if you ask questions, even though you know the answer, and I think this comes a lot from the coach, from our coaching experiences, is it's... if you start making a statement to somebody, then you are, to a degree, already pushing them down a route that goes to meet what you think about it. The value in asking a question, an open question most of the time, is that it's where are they coming from? What are their thoughts about that perspective?
I think the nice explanation of that is it took you a while to come around to that, but you made a statement when I ran the marathon. You said, I could never do that. That was your statement. It was, that's Rachel's thing, that amount of running. I'm not doing that. But I noticed subtly in you that you started to ask me questions over, and you started to ask, how could I do this? What could I do differently? And then you found the Vandergloed, and it's you allowed yourself to be open to asking questions, and then this project, this plight, this project has just appeared for you.
As I say, I really find it difficult. I think most of us do, because we shortcut to the statement because it's the obvious thing to do.
Yeah.
It's that system one, system two thinking that Daniel Kahneman talks about, you know, where your system one's very reactive. It's how you drive a car. It's, you know, buttering a piece of toast. It's just things that you don't think about. Whereas system two is a lot more effortful, and that's why we don't do it. It's why we don't ask the question, when actually that allows the person to give their perspective. And I think that's the biggest thing probably in coaching is getting another perspective or a line of inquiry that makes you choose different perspectives. So my leadership essential number two is to work with other people. You can't just do this all on your own. And I think the most important part of working with other people is try to choose people that are unlike you. I think often we're attracted to the same sort of person. We've got things in common, and I think a lot of the time we just end up having the same sort of qualities, and you want really contrasting qualities that where you can help somebody develop themselves and they can develop you at the same time. I think it's just so important to try and find people who have just got that little bit of a difference. And thirdly, my third leadership essential is, and I really struggle with this a lot of the time, is just admitting when you're wrong, that you're wrong. I do struggle with this. I don't think it's all about just wanting to be right. It's just that sometimes your own perspective is your only perspective. So it is a good idea to bounce your ideas off others. But yeah, if you're wrong, admit it. It goes a long way.
I've loved this podcast, John, and I've loved watching you grow over your journey inspired by the Vondeglobe 2020. And I really hope that, you know, you at your age, forgive me for making a joke of that, are doing 5K every day for 70 days, I think is incredible. And I really hope that it's inspired some of our listeners to perhaps take on a new goal or do something different to start 2021. Now, we've been thinking, haven't we, John, around how we can just do something a little bit more fun and different to end this year. So we have got an exciting competition to share with you, our listeners. So 2020 hasn't been the year that any of us expected, but that doesn't mean that you can't get 2021 off to a flying start. And we're hoping this competition is going to be the way that you can do that. We are giving the chance for 5 lucky listeners to win free coaching sessions in January to help you get 2021 off to the best start. The way you can enter this competition is super simple. Go to our website, it's scaffoldcoaching.com. That's scaffoldcoaching.com. And right there in the middle of the homepage is a button that says enter the competition. And you're in the draw to hopefully win some free coaching sessions in 2021. Good luck, everybody.
You've been listening to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching.